Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Welcome back, yakkers. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. I know I did.
I know, it went by too fast as usual.
You say that every week.
I know, but we also say the same damn thing every week. Kind of gets old.
Okay, fine. Why don't you start with a new intro?
Well, we'll have to work on that.
All right.
But yeah, totally need a new one.
All right.
It's getting old.
Speaking of getting old.
That's an interesting segue.
Yes. Mississippi has decided to try again and make a state book.
A state book?
Yeah, an official state book.
Okay.
Guess which one?
Oh, I'm sure I can guess that one.
The Bible.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. So, Representative Tawn Miles thinks it's fitting to give the Bible a place of prominence in Mississippi.
A place of prominence?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it doesn't have one already.
Yeah. Quote, a couple years ago, we added In God We Trust a state seal. Everybody's money that you pull out of our pocket says In God We Trust. We thought that making the official book of the state of Mississippi would be another way that we would reconfirm our faith.
Okay, first of all, I thought the whole argument with In God We Trust and on the money and all that, it was just, what was it they said?
Ceremonial deism.
Yes, exactly. Not actually religious-based, so it's okay, it can stay.
Right.
You know, it's not for religion, but yet here we are.
We're saying it's religious.
Yeah, so that we can make the Bible the state book.
Here's what he says. We're not requiring anyone to go out and buy the Bible. We're not requiring anyone to read the Bible. We're not forcing them to pass a test about the Bible. It's symbolic in nature, just like the state bird and the state flower. So yeah, they are pushing as ceremonial deism.
It's the same damn thing they said with In God We Trust on all the on the money and all that.
It's symbolic.
It's the same thing. They just want to slip it in, and then once it's there, it's voila.
Talk about slipping it in. Here's
another nasty segue.
Okay, whatever. Here's another quote from him. It gives opportunity for us as a state and a nation to have this debate. Is the Bible important to us anymore or not? And along the way, if someone opens it up and reads it that hasn't read it, it's a win-win all the way around.
Is he serious?
That's what he said.
That's ridiculous. Okay, why can't they grasp the concept that in America, there are so many more people who don't follow their Bible?
Well, I think this last quote really says what he wants to do. Well, he wants to use it as a way to expose people to the Bible.
Of course, it's just another preaching tool.
As if no one has ever seen it before.
Yeah,
it's brand new.
It's amazing new thing that you've got to read.
Yes.
You can't wait to see it.
Have
it's
you
awesome.
Read the good news?
But, I mean, my gosh, the preaching, it's...
Yeah.
It's irritating, and to just make it like statewide, like this dome that everyone now will have to be under.
Right.
But it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
So I have a feeling that just like in Louisiana and Tennessee, this will fail. And
if
it doesn't fail, it's not going to pass constitutional muster. It shouldn't even get out of committee.
It is a waste of time and money, just like most of this crap is.
I know. I don't know.
It's frustrating, and I'd like you to keep an eye, because I'm sure it won't go
far.
Oh,
it'll come back up in my search again.
Oh, I'm sure it will, but I just want to make sure.
If you're like me, you may have been a fan of shows like Ghost Hunters, Paranormal State, or Ghost Adventurers. But at some point you said to yourself that these shows are complete crap. They're superstition masquerading as science. But don't worry, I'm here to shed light on these shows and point out their flaws using skepticism, the scientific method, reason, logic, and a little bit of humor. This is Paranormal Skeptic Academy, and it can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, or at ParanormalSkepticAcademy.com.
All right, we'll move on from that.
All righty.
Did you know atheism is as natural as religion?
That does not surprise me one bit.
A new study by the University of Cambridge has discovered that, contrary to popular belief, vast swaths of the ancient world did not believe in God.
That does not surprise me one bit.
Yeah. Professor Whitemarsh, a fellow of St. John's College, University of Cambridge, also counters the idea that atheism is a modern phenomenon.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. He said, these early atheists were making what seemed to be universal objections to paradoxical nature of religion. The fact that it asks you to accept things that are intuitively there in your world, that aren't intuitively there in your world.
Yeah, you missed an important word.
Yeah, aren't. The fact that this was happening thousands of years ago suggests that forms of disbelief can exist in all cultures and probably always have.
Of course they have. I mean,
right.
This is not a new thing. And just on human nature and alone, you can tell that this is just not a new thing.
Right. All right. There had to be a time in human culture where the concept of God did not exist. Because obviously we came up with this concept.
Of course.
So those people were technically atheists.
Of course.
But you can't have an atheist without the concept of God, because there's nothing to be atheistic about.
Right, because it could have been just no concept of any gods of any kind. It wasn't even in the vocabulary.
Right.
You know, it's like something we can't think of right now for, you know, years into the future.
Right.
You can't grasp that.
Right.
You know?
So, well, this study went all the way back to Plato, and he found that a lot of the philosophers and their writings seem to be very non-religious.
Right.
And a definitely religious culture.
Uh-huh.
So he that's what he's basing a lot of his information on, which I can certainly see that. There's times when you read some of the old philosophers, you're like, wow, there's no way this guy believed in Zeus. Right.
Right.
You know, it's just the way that it worked.
And you just, you think the way that the brain works too, that it just seems a natural thing to have happened, you know?
Right.
I mean, and it's like, you know, curiosity and, you know, it's how you come up with new inventions and new things. Your curiosity, it's just the natural way that, you know, the human mind works. And, you know, there's always a few out there that just kind of go a bit farther than everyone else, you know?
Right. So, yeah, there's that.
Uh-huh.
But I got something else for you.
Alrighty.
Did you know that in Saudi Arabia, they're trained to fight magic?
Are they now?
They are.
Okay.
Yeah. Saudi Arabia's influential religious belief has started training its new members on how to fight magic and arrest those involved in the black art in the Gulf Kingdom.
Like Hogwarts.
Hogwarts. Defense Against the Black Arts, I think it's called.
Oh, what the hell?
Didn't Snape teach that for a while? Or no, he was like chemistry guy, like herbs or something. I don't know. I'm not a Potter expert.
It was the dark arts.
No.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
No, all the bad people always ended up teaching dark arts, which was weird.
Right, yeah.
I guess it's supposed to be that way.
But really, what the hell?
Anyway, newspaper said 30 members of the Commission for the Promotion of Virtue and Prevention of Vice have completed a 5-day course on combating magic at the Commission's headquarters in the capital in Raja. I think that's how it's said.
And it only takes 5 days.
Only 5 days to learn how to fight magic. And think, Harry Potter had to go through all of school for that.
For how many years?
I don't know.
Okay, so one, 5 days only, and B, what the hell are they doing there?
I'll tell you.
Oh, okay.
The course covered theoretical and practical lessons on how to deal with magic, destroy black artwork, and identify magicians and sorcerers. The guys with the pointy hats, right?
What the hell?
Pointy hats, magic wands, robes with stars, those guys.
This is serious?
This is serious.
Oh, come on.
Magic is strictly banned in conservative Muslim Saudi Arabia, where those convicted for involvement in sorcery have been executed. It is serious.
What?
I read.
So it's basically modern witch hunting.
Yeah.
Modern witch trials.
Yes. Yeah. It's a very similar thing. But yeah. Now they're training their cops to do it, though.
Okay. And so is this men and women that perform magic? Or any particulars that they're after that they tend to like
just
lean more to?
I guess when someone's crops dies, they just blame the nearest crazy looking person.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know. I didn't get a chance to look into the curriculum.
That's just bizarre.
Yeah. But yeah, it's.
That's really, really like off the wall, especially for today. I mean.
Okay. We still have witch hunts in Africa. I've seen reports of children being abandoned by their parents because they think they're witches.
That's just crazy.
Yeah. This isn't isolated. This is religion. This is what
know.
A book that says sorcerers exist and you must kill them does.
Just like you must stone your children when they argue with you.
Do not allow a witch to live.
God, and why do people believe this crap? I mean, do they not have any sense?
I don't know.
I mean, where did that go?
I'm not sure. It went out with the religion.
Oh my gosh, that's really frustrating.
I agree. Anyway, something not so frustrating.
Alrighty.
Obama eliminates abstinence-only education from federal budget.
Good.
Yeah, good.
Because you can see how that works so well.
Right. Obama has officially cut all abstinence-only education from the 2017 federal budget.
Meaning he's not going to fund it.
Right. This will save our country $10 million a year on a program that has proven ineffective.
And technically has given opposite results, actually.
Yeah, in fact, the states that have abstinence-only education usually have the highest rates of teen pregnancy.
Teen pregnancy, highest porn.
Highest abortion rates.
I mean, it kind of goes hand in hand. Telling a bunch of teenagers, you know, abstinence-only and not giving them any other education in that aspect is so irresponsible. Right. I mean, you need to educate them. And yes, you want to promote abstinence, but my God, give them some information on if they make that decision, how to handle it properly.
Right.
And, you know, you hope and you educate for abstinence, but you've got a lot of educating to do outside of abstinence.
Right. So this budget also proposes $4 million increase for the teen pregnancy prevention program, which is good.
Yeah.
It implements evidence-informed and innovative strategies to support the sexual health of our nation's youth. So it's a positive. It all around.
It's about time. It's only, what, 2016?
Yeah.
I mean, so took this long?
Yeah, really? So states, if they want federal funding for their sex education programs, are going to have to stop doing abstinence only.
Now, I wonder how that'll go over in the southern states that do only, you know, abstinence only education.
Well, some of those don't care about federal money.
Well, and my question is, will they just drop the abstinence sex ed, period?
Well, I don't think they can.
Can they?
No, I think that's part of the federal thing is you have to do sexual education, right? But now they're saying if you have sex ed with abstinence only as your curriculum, you're not getting any money.
Does the money talk? Does the abstinence only talk?
Right. So
that's the question.
Yeah, check your values there.
Yeah, right.
Which is more important to you?
It's a tricky thing. Mm-hmm. But no, kudos. I think that's good. And I think it's so long and overdue.
I agree.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
So this week we have a Potter redemption.
Yeah.
Some of you may recall our Potter Award winner from episode 15 and the update we did on episode 36.
I was going to say, if you can remember that far back.
Well, of course I can.
Not me. I have a terrible memory.
But in case you aren't up to date on this, let me bring you up to speed. Justin Burnett on Justin Burnett of Springfield, Missouri.
That mouth again. I know. You just can't talk.
He was instrumental in getting an indecent ordinance passed in Springfield that barred women from exposing any part of their breast below the areola. Remember that?
Yeah, the wimp.
Yeah, that is right. He wanted to outlaw side boob.
Yep, can't have the boobs.
Yeah. Then in January, he decided that he couldn't keep up with being a council member and a student, along with the backlash that he got from wanting to pass his law.
Right.
Right. So he tendered his resignation from the city council, but he rescinded it the very next day. Uh-huh. We talked about that in episode 36.
Right, right, yeah.
Well, he's back in the news.
Sure, why not?
On February 20th, he released an op-ed in the Springfield News Leader in which he admitted the ordinance change was a mistake and he was apologizing to the citizens of Springfield.
Well, that's a twist.
That is a twist.
Yeah.
And joining us today to talk about this is our friend and guest host, Tom Essel. Yes. Welcome back to the show, Tom.
Thanks for having me. I do want to correct just one quick thing. It's important to remember that Justin Burnett wasn't just a council member and a student, but he also had a full-time job. So he essentially had three full-time jobs as counsel, his actual job where he works and gets paid, and as a full-time student. So
correct. Yeah, I did miss that. So
it's okay.
Yeah. He always needs to be corrected.
Yeah, okay.
So just a reminder for everybody for who I am. I work with Robert on the Original Model Project, and in Springfield, I kind of work as a journalist and a blogger, among other things.
Yeah.
So that's me. It's not that exciting.
Yeah, we're very happy to have you back on the show.
Yeah.
So let's get right into this. So first, let's talk about this op-ed he posted, in which he issued an apology about the ordinance and some of the other stuff that happened. So you want to talk a bit about that?
So he, it essentially is what you said. He basically admitted that it was a mistake going forward, and he apologizes. He explains in the op-ed his reasoning for attempting to put the more strident ordinance in place, and which his reasoning basically boils down to, and which is that he basically went to work the next day and had emails and phone calls and just people in general freaking out and felt like he needed to do something because people were squawking and telling him to do something. And so he did. Right. I think in retrospect, he sees that it wasn't the best thing to react immediately, but it is what it is. And, he admits in the op-ed that, I think the line is, you know, all a leader can do is admit a mistake was made and apologize and try to move forward. So,
right. So, yeah, I've got a quote that I kind of liked that came out of this, and it's from, I think, the third paragraph down, which is, "First, I believe an apology is in order. The barrage of attacks have forced me to come to grips with this fact. City Council decisions affect people's lives on a closer level than any other branch of government. And although criticism should be expected, I was not prepared to process the level of backlash I received."
Yeah, he he got quite a bit of backlash from a lot of people, including me. I was not overly kind to Mr. Burnett when the whole indecent exposure ordinance deal went on.
Yeah, many of us were not.
I called him Chicken Little in the Springfield newsletter.
Oh. Well, a little more harsh than what I called him. Well, yeah. At least publicly called him.
We've worked past that since.
Yes.
So, go ahead.
I forgot what I was going to say, but that's okay.
So, yeah. So I know a lot of people have reservations about this whole situation. I think you told me when we talked before the show that you had some reservations about it. Do you want to?
Yeah. While I think he is mostly sincere, I've got to wonder if this is politics as usual. I mean,
I think that's a valid concern to have. I don't personally have that concern, but I meet with him for coffee and lunch.
Right. And the rest. That's kind of why I wanted to bring you on, because I knew that. And I wanted to get those theories and rumors out of the way.
Right. He would have first seen, you know, meeting with him in person.
Right. So I wanted to make sure that our own biases against certain types of politicians are not getting being fed into this and creating a worse situation than what we already have.
Right.
There's a little bit of that going on, but which we'll get into in a minute, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But what I take away from meeting with Justin, and I hope you'll forgive me for just calling him by his first name. We're on a first name basis. He's completely sincere. I'm not going to quote anything he said to me directly because they were private conversations.
Right.
Right, as they should be.
Right, but he really doesn't. He's genuine. He's really serious. When he says, "I want to build bridges and figure out how to bring people together," he's completely serious. The criticisms and just the hatred on both sides drives him completely up the wall. For somebody who gets accused all the time of only wanting an echo chamber, I can assure people that Justin Burnett really actually despises the echo chamber.
That is good to hear, because that is something our politicians don't need.
Right.
Right. But it's also important to remember, when it came to the indecent exposure ordinance, the reason, and I'm not trying to make excuses for him. A lot of people are trying to say, well, you're just making excuses for him and defending him. Well, no, I'm just trying to understand where he's coming from. There's a difference between those two things. And, if people don't realize that, I can't help them. But I understand the reasons why he did, because he was in that echo chamber. He said to me, essentially, you know, I was new to city council. He'll admit he's young. Justin's only 26, which is old for Robert, I'm sure. and he more or less said, you know, I'm new to this. And all of a sudden I've got all these people freaking out telling me to do something. And I've just been elected. And my assumption is I got to do something. This is what I'm supposed to do. Was it the right decision? No, and I've told him that. But it is what it is. So the question now is, how do you move forward?
Right. And I think we talked several months ago when we talked about Justin Burnett on this show. we had a nice long conversation about it, and we talked about how he had lived a somewhat sheltered life.
Yes.
Up until that point, because he was homeschooled, he didn't have necessarily the same amount of interaction as other people have had, and I think that might have played a role in his inability to anticipate the kind of backlash he got.
I can see that.
I can see how people would have that perception. Yes. Right. I
some accident.
I do think that that played a little bit of a role in it. I myself was actually homeschooled, which is kind of a something Justin and I have in common. So we were able to commiserate on this, where, you know, you are a little bit more sheltered, and I don't mean it in a bad way, but
right.
You are a little bit more sheltered, and so all of a sudden the big wide world's after you. And he's expressed to me that he really just like didn't even expect the backlash that he got from the indecent exposure ordinance, and from when he introduced the In God We Trust scenario, when he wanted to put In God We Trust in the city council chambers.
Right.
He basically was just like, yeah, I didn't think people would think it was a big deal, referring to the In God We Trust thing.
Right. Yeah. And that's pretty common, actually, when people do introduce that. They didn't see this would be a big deal. But that's a totally different subject for a different show.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yes, it is. So, but as far as the indecent exposure ordinance and his apology in the newsletter, I think he's genuine.
Okay. I certainly hope he is. Like I said, I have my reservations, but that's based on previous experience with politicians, and I have quite a great deal.
I think the stumbling block won't be Justin's sincerity. I think it will be other people's receptibility to the message. Right. That's really what's going to put a damper on the whole thing, is he can be as sincere as he wants.
Right.
And mean it, which I believe that he does. But at the end of the day, if people just won't even listen, there's nothing he can do, which is frustrating because he's got an uphill battle with people on the conservative side.
Right.
And so if he can't get the people on the conservative side to kind of calm down and just listen for a minute, there's nothing he can do about that. But then the left, which we call my side when we talk to each other, will blame him for that.
Right.
And it won't be for lack of him trying. It will be because people just simply aren't receptive to the message.
Yeah. Yeah. That's understandable. And I get that. I certainly do see that as being an issue. So, like I said, I hope he is. And I'm willing to keep an open mind and keep an up and see how this plays out.
It's going to be interesting, to say the least.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I think so.
And I also wanted to touch on a little bit, is you're getting some backlash because of this.
I am, actually, from the from the left. People really don't understand why I would even talk to Justin Burnett.
Right.
I'm actually working on an op-ed right now that I'll have up tomorrow, so Monday for people listening. So it'll probably be out already by the time the show goes up. But I'm going to go through and explain why I talked to him and what our message is and what I think the stumbling blocks are going to be. I'm just going to spell it out. That's probably not going to win me a lot of friends either. But at this point, I honestly don't care. I'm done. I'm tired of the echo chamber.
Yeah, I certainly get that. I mean, we all live in our own manufactured echo chambers quite a bit of the time.
Well, and people are genuinely disgusted that I would even treat Justin like a human being.
Right.
He's not a monster, and I think, and honestly, and this is going to make people angry when they hear it, but they need to hear it anyway. I think people are upset right now that I don't think that their witch is a witch.
Right.
And they've built this,
built
this beautiful pyre, and now they have no one to use it on. And so they're really grasping for things. One of the things they're doing is several people have actually accused me of writing Justin Burnett's op-ed.
Yeah.
Wow.
I did not write Justin Burnett's op-ed. He did send it to me before he sent it to the paper, just kind of asking my opinion. And it was literally like two sentences. I said, great job. I think this is well written. That was the extent of my involvement in Justin Burnett's op-ed. Now, is the op-ed a product of our interactions? To an extent, yes, it is. I think he would probably say the same thing. But believe it or not, he can put two sentences together.
Well, I imagine he can. I mean, he did get elected to city council. That's no small feat.
Yeah, he's just see some of the other council members.
I know of one.
That doesn't bode well.
Yeah, true.
But the backlash I've been getting, I've been accused of being a member of the Burnett Brigade, which is his like political, the fundraising people. That's what they call themselves. I'm accused of being a member of the Burnett Brigade, of abandoning the left, those sorts of comments. I'm not getting it nearly as bad as Justin is. Justin's been even getting death threats.
See, now that's,
wow, that's
that
ridiculous.
Just, yeah, that's just wrong.
Yeah.
No.
Death threats from either side is ridiculous.
No, right. It's completely uncalled for.
Right. I believe you and I had a discussion a couple days ago about the bridge building that you're working on.
Yes.
And you would ask me my thoughts on it and how people are coming up to you. And I remember telling you that trolls under the bridge are just trying to knock everybody off.
Right.
And they're not helping either cause by doing so.
They're not. I can understand why people are doing what they're doing. There's a great quote from George Orwell. I'm a big Orwell fan. Where he had attacked people in print, or attacked a guy by the name, actually I have it right here because I'm working, it's in my op-ed I'm writing, a guy named Steven Spender. And Orwell basically attacked him in print, never met the guy at all, accused him of a bunch of things, and then he met Spender, like, very briefly, and withdrew his attacks. And Spender was very confused by this and said, basically, wow, why would you withdraw your attacks? You still don't really know anything about me. Why would you? He said, I'm puzzled as to why, when still knowing nothing of me, you have attacked me, and equally puzzled as to why, when still knowing nothing of me, but having met me once or twice, you should have withdrawn these attacks. And Orwell wrote back, basically, once I met you, you're not a caricature anymore. You're an actual human being. And I'm not going to read the whole quote because it's pretty long. You can read it tomorrow. That's basically – and so I think right now people – I don't want to say that they're being trolls, but at the same time, I think they are still on the path of treating Justin as a caricature to be made – not necessarily made an example of, but – he's the symbol of their frustrations.
So, right.
Yeah,
I get that.
Which is fine. That's one way you can deal with things, and it's actually a perfectly valid way of dealing with things, in my opinion. I've chosen not to do that, and so I kind of have to go the other route where I have to realize that he's a human being with valid reasons to believe what he does, just like I have valid reasons to believe what I do.
Yeah, that is very true. And we're all guilty of doing that caricature.
And I have to say... I mean, I know that you try to keep your show, 30, 40 minutes, but I have to say the most frustrating comments I've seen from the left in this have been, with Justin's apology, have been, well, we'll see you at the next Free the Nipple rally. Or, if he really is truly sorry, then he'll support Free the Nipple. As if he's, it's two separate things. He doesn't have to suddenly agree with everything you say to recognize the fact that you have the right to say it.
Right.
I
think we need to make sure that is fully stated, because I see that a lot of the times is people set up this dichotomy, either you're for us or against us.
Right. Yeah, you're either for us or against us. And Justin is by no means a liberal. I personally think he's a little bit more moderate than he thinks he is, but that's my personal opinion. But he certainly does not identify as liberal in any way, and it's not up to us to decide who Justin identifies as. If he identifies as conservative, that's fine, and he has valid reasons for that. And so, but to assume that the only way that the guy can redeem himself is by suddenly becoming a Marxist leftist is completely asinine. Asinine is a good word for
that.
I agree.
So that's my two cents on that.
I mean,
I don't really know what to say to the people that are kind of coming after me, other than expect to receive what you give.
Right. Well, I've got to say, Tom, this has been enlightening.
Yes.
I think, like I said, I'm still going to be skeptical because of my experience with politicians, but I am definitely looking forward to what comes from this.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yes, to watch. I do need to say, Justin and I were planning on doing an event at Missouri State University together. We right. decided that until things cool off and calm down, that's basically been suspended. Until
that is probably a very good idea.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Right. So, and for our listeners, as soon as I get notice, I will let our listeners know, either on our Facebook or Twitter or whatever, because I think that'll be important.
Yes, and Justin is having a town hall meeting on Thursday to kind of talk to people in his zone. He's a zone council member. It was citywide and then zone members. He's a zone council member. I'll be there in my kind of reporter capacity, so people can expect something up probably Friday about that. I'll send it to you and you can do with it what you will.
Okay, will do.
That sounds good.
Yeah. And I'll put links up to the op-ed, both yours and Justin's, when the show releases in the show notes.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, yeah. Thanks for coming on, Tom, and giving us all this wonderful information and your insights on Justin Burnett.
Thank you for having me.
And I think that's all the yakking we're going to have for this week.
So tune in next week when we're going to yak again as usual.
As usual, yeah.
Maybe with a better intro.
Maybe. Secular Yakking is a proud member of the Secular Outreach Network. Sun is a group of skeptical, secular, and humanist content creators collaborating with the goal of creating high-quality entertainment, and just maybe, to do some good along the way. Find out more about the Sun and the other shows that make up the network at secularoutreach.com. We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Podbean patron page.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.